Hi, and welcome back. This is Erin Backus at the AHA Moment, and with me, my co-host,
Irene Barber.
It is episode six, which is wonderful. We unfortunately weren't able to do 2 weeks ago, but because the particular horticulture therapist was going through a personal issue, so she will be with us later on in the season. But today we have a great horticultural therapist from California. So it's Farin. Keep beginning to say it. It rhymes with my name, Erin. So it's Farin Hart. She's a horticultural therapist, a registered out in the Bay Area, California. She runs horticultural therapy programming for women and teenagers in residential eating disorder treatments, as well as homeless and low-income families. She's also volunteers at the San Quentin State Prison, which I think is really neat work out there, working with incarcerated men in the vegetable and flower gardens. And then she is also currently pursuing her master's in social work. So we're very fortunate to have her today. You can say hello and say hi.
Hi, I'm really grateful to be here with you both.
Thank you for joining us, Farin. We really appreciate you participating and giving us a little bit about your history and your realization of becoming a horticultural therapist, among so many other things that you do.
Just to say what I've loved about listening to your shift so far is just, you know, I have my own moment and my own kind of profound experiences, but it's really been important to hear the story, the narrative of others too. So thanks for doing this.
So tell us a little bit about your, a little bit about where you are right now professionally, and a personal enrichment perhaps. And then we'll delve into your, background of your AHA experiences. Maybe it's not just one, but a multitude, perhaps. But a little bit about current situation. How are you doing?
Erin said, I am currently pursuing a MSW through Smith College School for Social Work, and it feels actually like a important time to be studying, just because work is kind of weird right now during COVID and shelter in place. Mm-hmm. But I received my HTR last year through BHTA, so I think around April 2019. But it was a long journey to get there. I started in about 2015 doing the certificate through HTI. They had courses out in California. And I mean, it was amazing. You know, for my final class, we had to put together a project proposal for HT that I then went to a residential eating disorder treatment center and said, "Hey, I have this program. Can I run a pilot here?" And they said, "Yes, let's do a pilot." And I've been running that horticultural therapy program for 5 years, working with teens and with women.
Can you repeat? Can you repeat the name of that center just a little more slowly? That would be great.
Yeah, I didn't say it. It's called the Center for Discovery.
Oh, okay.
Center. Yeah. They. It's a national company, but they have multiple centers in California. They have mental health and also specific eating disorder treatment. Mm-hmm. And I run program in three of the Bay Area houses. Mm-hmm. That works really amazing.
You do like one per day?
I do one or two per day. And I love that work. First of all, I hear from the women and from the teens that it's their favorite group. They have a lot of really intensive therapy, family therapy. You know, a lot of them are there because they're in eating disorder treatment. They're there not out of their own volition. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of resistance to their treatment. And, you know, when we're in the garden, there's a lot of freedom. There's a lot of creativity. the program, the projects that I do there are a lot around anxiety alleviation. So bringing in herbs, doing a lot of kind of somatic distress tolerance things, mm-hmm. like with stand, Zen gardens, things like that. And then, mm-hmm. And then just like doing gardening as compensator behavior. So, doing distress tolerance stuff and also building self-confidence. So we do salves, we do perfume. We talk about like self-love and what it means to reconnect with the self.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So a sense of, you know, there are certain activities that stimulate or are metaphorical to the self. Is that correct? That you utilize?
Yeah. I like to say that the kind of like the vision of the program is to connect with food off the plate.
Mm-hmm.
So I also like to bring in a lot of, you know, we've done like napkin, like using vegetable dyes. We've made napkins that clients can like have at the table to have mm-hmm. something there that reminds them of like a creative or a time where they felt relaxed and calm to bring into spaces where they're experiencing a lot of resistance or anxiety.
That's powerful. And I imagine that the whole sensory experience for relating to food and for nutrition mm-hmm. must be a real, is that what you, do you use that a lot with, you were saying herbs and so forth. So is that mm-hmm. something where it's the aroma, it's the taste that starts to invigorate their interests again?
Yeah, so a lot of it has to do with that like direct sensory memory creation, right? Mm-hmm. It's recreating pathways, and so mm-hmm. Right. So whether it's we're using herbs, and then they can like bring that into a therapy session, or mm-hmm. even if it's using quote unquote fear foods mm-hmm. like oil. So oil or fats is a very intense thing, and so instead of, you know, we're not eating oils, we're making perfumes and mm-hmm. salves with oils, mm-hmm. which become self-care. And we're doing mm-hmm. things like a lot of the time, like carbs or greens are really triggering. And so we make wheatgrass gardens. And so it's changing the way that the clients relate to the different foods or different things in their life.
That's amazing.
And what about your work in San Quentin State Prison?
Yeah, I miss that garden. San Quentin's going through a hard time right now, so I haven't actually been able to be in there since April, unfortunately. I'm sending a lot of love to those guys. There's just a really intense spike happening right now with COVID, but stuff, you know, that garden's been in there for 18 years or something really wild. And so I kind of, for the last 3 years or so, I've been, you know, managing the flower garden. It's definitely a challenge, you know, working or managing a flower garden inside of a prison. San Quentin, where I work, is a medium security prison. And so, you know, we are allowed in certain tools. I know people who are gardening with plastic spoons in like youth facilities here in Vacaville, but you know, I am able to bring in 10 trowels and work with 30 men, and you know, can barely bring in pruners. And so it's challenging, but I do know that being outside is so incredible. Something that really blows my mind about this work is that, you know, on the yard, the men are like gang lines or kind of group lines are very distinguished.
Mm-hmm.
Certain people aren't allowed to interact with each other, talk to each other, pass food to each other, et cetera. There's like a lot of kind of inter-prison politics. But mm-hmm. in the garden, we just garden together.
Yeah.
And we look at chrysalises and we pick flowers and we pick weeds and we talk about what we're weeding out of our lives. And mm-hmm. we did a giant redesign of the garden. You know, the garden's been there for so many years and it's not really usable. And so for the last year or so, we've been redesigning the garden and the men actually were able to do the redesign. And so we bought in a list of plants that are natives and that, you know, have flowering times all throughout the year mm-hmm. and created a redesign of the garden that hopefully we were planning to build over the summer,
mm-hmm.
but that's now been delayed. But just to have more of a usable space, which feels more connective
mm-hmm.
For the men, And, you know, obviously they want things in there that are sensory, right? We talked about that mm-hmm. earlier. They want things that in there smell beautiful that mm-hmm. they can potentially use as medicine. And yeah, it's been exciting.
And at San Quentin and the prisoners whom you've worked with, or I should say the inmates you worked with, are they individuals who some have been on parole or they've actually been released? And have you heard any long-term testimonials or responses after coming leaving prison, et cetera?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the yard that I work with, the incarcerated individuals, are on a parole yard. Mm-hmm. And so they are creating kind of parole plans, right? Mm-hmm. And there has been, the organization I work with is called Insight Garden Program, and they actually have a whole reentry program. And so they do incredible work to reconnect men with jobs once they have been released, mm-hmm. which is a huge part of decreasing recidivism, right? If men can be released and have available work.
Right.
And so we've connected them with either restaurant work or with actually garden teaching. Mm-hmm. There's a nonprofit in the East Bay, Oakland, called Planting Justice, which has hired a lot of the men from the program. So they are coming out of the program and like going back into the community and doing that work.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really beautiful about IGP is now that there are men that have been released that are on the board of Insight Garden. Yeah.
That is a good testimonial.
Really, yeah. Look at the website now, it's really awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, we should
makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense for a program that is for people, right? It's designed for the people it serves.
And mm-hmm. And can you repeat the name of that program once again for us?
Yeah, so the nonprofit is called the Insight Garden Program.
Insight Garden Program, okay.
And it started at San Quentin, but now runs in many prisons throughout California and I think in a couple other states as well.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana and Ohio.
Wow, yeah. That's fantastic.
I'm reading the website.
Big sunflower on their side. Yeah.
And so these populations with whom you work, are they, you know, is this kind of a spontaneous experience for you to, you know, aside from the fact that you chose to become a horticultural therapist, but were you interested in these populations initially, or was this kind of more of a scenario where this is where there were some jobs available in the field? How did it come about for you?
Yeah, it's interesting. You're talking about like your aha moment. A big reason why HT became my journey was because, mm-hmm. I had my own path of recovery,
mm-hmm.
and when I was in the course in HTI, I was looking for research working with eating disorder, mm-hmm. working in eating disorder treatment, and I wasn't seeing any research.
Mm-hmm.
And so it felt really important for me to begin programming in specifically eating disorder recovery. And I know now that the Homewood Institute or Homewood in Canada and goodness, there's one more in the United States do specific ED treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So that felt really specific and really important to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the prison population, yeah, it just felt right. It felt like prison is a place where there's so much concrete and there's not gardening is about cultivation of life and about abundance, and it just feels really necessary to grow that and to tend that inside of a prison yard where I feel like people aren't where humanity and is not necessarily a thing that is cultivated.
Right. Yeah. And Aaron, do you have any questions about Farron's work so far, or do we want to jump into a little bit more on the AHA experiences that led her to this position?
I think that's a good flow.
Okay. Well,
to hear more about your AHA moment, or like even the moments that like I have one particular that I know of, and like Irene has a few. So I mean, it could be one or two. So I'm just curious about what brought you, you know, those moments. If you want to share with us, that'd be so wonderful.
Yeah, my AHA moments. You know, I grew up in Johannesburg in South Africa in a very metropolitan, very concrete jungle, with very little access to nature. And, you know, when I left South Africa, I was very unwell and kind of started this path of healing towards reconnecting with myself. And that involved reconnecting to gardening and to the land. And I worked at an ecological teaching center in Brunswick, Georgia, called The Hostel in the Forest. You stay in tree houses and swim in the lake, and there's an organic garden. And I remember the first time that I saw a zucchini growing. I could not believe that that was what a zucchini looked like coming out of the ground. And I just, it was a moment that I was like, this is something I need to learn more about.
Wow.
And there was just, that was a commitment to growing, right? Growing food, growing myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw how community gathered around gardens and around food. And, you know, that evolved into doing social justice work. I worked in India with Himalayan farmers, like working out of Vandana Shiva's eco farm in Uttaranchal. And so just kind of being on a path of eco justice. And honestly, there wasn't a lot of, the work was very seasonal and it wasn't very stabilizing. And someone kind of dropped the term horticultural therapy. I think actually was when I was working out on a summer camp in New York in the Hudson Valley. I was working with a farm manager who had done a PhD talking about office plants and how having greenery in the office just improved people's mood and work and performativity in the office. And she told me about this thing called horticultural therapy, and it just, it kind of planted the seed, you know, for that path.
Yeah.
And just my curiosity was piqued.
That was
in the Hudson Valley in Putnam Valley at a camp called Eden Village, beautiful environmental summer camp.
What a spectrum.
What's that?
Aaron, what'd you say?
It was in Putnam County. What?
It was in Putnam County, is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, I live up there.
Beautiful area. That's like right by Woodstock. I mean, I miss those lakes so much.
So Farron, the spectrum of experiences that you've had, I mean, talk about global. This is incredible. That's an interesting point too, because when I was in Africa studying in college there, I found myself reconnecting, you know, feeling like I was home or feeling like I was connected to a place, you know what I mean? By being around plants and being, you know, just absorbed by the scenery, by the landscape, and how people were connecting to the land there and how their lives were, you know, basically evolving around the power of soil. And so I wonder, what did you feel like the communities that you worked with, did they have a strong connection to the soil, or were they, you know, like, were they different cultures that didn't have as much of a connection to the soil? What did you feel like when you were in these different areas?
I love that you said that, Irene. I, you know, I, so my name means wanderer.
Oh, neat.
And I'm a citizen of four countries. I mean, I've lived in a lot of places and in the world. And I think that has been something that's very important to me, is that because my life has been so wandering, by connecting to land and by connecting to things that are native in a place, by planting seeds and watching things grow over time, it has really allowed me to establish roots somewhere.
Right.
And there is so much to learn about culture and about people by like knowing and learning the things that they grow. You know, in San Francisco, I work with families, a lot of immigrant families who are coming from South America, and they get so excited to smell rue or to smell cilantro growing in the garden,
right?
And that connects them to home.
It's such a strong sense. It's such a strong memory trigger.
Yeah.
And it's so empowering, like the ability to grow food. I mean, growing food with communities that are vulnerable, that are marginalized. It's such an empowering and radical idea to grow food for yourself and for your community.
And the fact that you were outdoors in these very rugged environments or these very impoverished environments, and you're out helping with growing food and the ecosystems, et cetera, then you come to New York and you're working with somebody who tells you about the efficacy of houseplants. I mean, it's just so unbelievable how, you know, it's these smaller details that, you know, are reconnect us to this, you know. And I had a similar experience too. And it's just, you're almost overwhelmed by the sensory experience outdoors. But then when somebody says, "I just want to grow a jade," and you're like, "Oh my God." Or what is a jade? You know, it just brings it down into a focus point.
Exactly. And I think it feels really important to be doing the work in an urban environment as well. You know, I'm coming face to face, I'm meeting a lot of people who are really in pain, who are really experiencing a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, especially being in a major city. And the simplicity of being able to, grow a jade, grow cocos or something. It feels simple, but it also feels really important.
Are there certain plants that you feel like are those that you really, adhere to for any of your populations, or you want to demonstrate to your populations as saying, "This is an amazing one," or "I know," like there's certain things that are signature to a horticultural therapist. There's something that's very prominent or potent to a horticultural therapist. Is there some kind of plant or activity that you feel like is really effective for your purposes?
That's such a hard question. I get asked a lot, like, what my favorite plant is. I mean, I think what's so beautiful about HT is the opportunity for metaphor.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with certain populations, there's going to be a succulent that comes in as a metaphor to think about resilience and survival.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the prison work, there's an incredible Tupac poem about a rose growing through the concrete. And so roses have been really important in the prison population. Tupac Shakur. And you know, so these men who are covered in tattoos and you know, just talking about roses and concrete, it's really beautiful. So I think each population will have like a different sense of what they need, but I love that the plant world is so vast and that we can really pick on things, whether it's their color, their fragrance, their life cycle, even talking about like the three sisters companion planting, when we talk about the need to like grow better together than alone.
In communities. Plants thrive in communities just as much as people do. Now in your master's, sorry, Erin, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay. I'm I'm a side piece right now.
No, so. You're not.
No. And I mean, I just was saying, like, it definitely my favorite plants change with the populations that I use. So, like, I used to use jades a lot because they symbolize new beginnings. And so I use jades a lot at the psych hospital that I used to work at. So I like the fact that plants can change.
Mm-hmm.
What I was wondering too is you're venturing into a master's in social work. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And what is your goal out of this? And is it connecting it back to horticultural therapy? What is it?
Yeah. I'm definitely like, I want to always work in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I have been finding, especially at the homeless prenatal program in San Francisco and in the prison, is that I'm able to work with a client in the garden, but the work kind of stops there. And so I'm always just wanting to be able to offer more integrative treatment plans or just have the work continue in some way. And from the research that I had done and from what I'd understood, was that social work would just be able to kind of enhance the work that I'm already doing,
right?
Because of the specific populations that I'm doing. Like, I know that there are some HTs that are also OTs and rec therapists and things like that. So social work just felt like a way to, one, grant more access. You know, HT is such incredible work, but to a lot of people, it's new,
mm-hmm.
or they haven't heard about it. Whereas social work is much more across the board understood. And so I'm wanting to just have potentially more access and more kind of extended treatment with clients.
Hmm. Yeah.
It definitely is true. You know, like, I mean, we've been around for a long time, but the field of horticultural therapy is fairly new comparative to these other complementary therapies or social work, definitely. But it's just mm-hmm. as important. And it's just as important to get your HTR, I feel, so that in support of the national organization. And I'm going to do my little chime in right there because, that's just the way I feel. But, you know, just like we talk about, you know, the more together we are, the better off
mm-hmm.
we're going to be. But,
of course, it's really exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a great time for us recently as horticulture therapists, because more and more people are like wanting to connect to nature and wanting to be, you know, in the garden and, mm-hmm. and learn all about that. But we are coming up on our time, but I do want to thank you so much for joining us today and taking the time to talk with us and tell us about your aha moment. We really do appreciate it. And for listeners, we actually have 5 followers now, so that's really great for us.
Yay!
But, hey, you know, the small wins, we got to celebrate the small wins. And
it's like framing the $1 bill when you open a business.
That's so great. And
it's only growing.
Yes.
I know. Now we have a lineup. So, you know, I have a couple people lined up, and the next couple of speakers are going to be excellent speakers. So please tune in the next 2 weeks for our next speaker. And then also, if you're interested in learning more about Farin, her website is hearttoculture.com, a little play on horticulture and putting her last name in it. I love that. But again, thank you guys so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you, Farin.
Thank you so much. It was great to speak with you guys.
And we'll continue to be amazed by your work down the road. Thank you for sharing and continue to share your stories with us.
As I am of yours, thank you for continuing to grow HT and to get the word out.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Nothing like a good old podcast. All right.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, everybody. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.